right, let's take our Bibles and turn to Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. We're continuing our study in the journeys of faith. We're looking at some lives of people in the Bible who had challenges, great challenges, and the thing that got them through it, and the thing that kept them in God's will, was faith. They had faith. And so they made their journey with faith, and that's exactly what we need to do. Today's lesson is the journey from discouragement to destiny. The journey from discouragement to destiny. This was a period of time, just to give you the background, where they had the judges that were the supreme authorities, more or less, during that time. And it was a time when Israel, the Jews, would just tribe after tribe and group after group would go through a cycle. They would do right, and then they'd backslide, and then they would call out unto God and get right, and then they'd get everything would go well, and then they'd backslide, get away from God. And they had a lot of different judges during that period of time. That was a period of time from the time of Moses and Joshua, and then the period of time, 300 and something years there, plus until we came to Saul and to David when the kings got into authority. So it's a period of the time of the judges. It was a very discouraging time. It was a very depressing time. As you see a lot of these stories in the book of Judges, and this is just one of those times when Israel was backslidden, sort of like Baptists who are out of God's will, and they were miserable and being chastened by God. But the journey goes from discouragement to destiny. I heard about a parakeet by the name of Chippy. And this parakeet, the lady who owned the parakeet wanted to clean out the cage. And so she took off the particular part of the vacuum cleaner to make it just one suction hose. And she put it in there and she got a phone call. All of a sudden, she heard like that, and the parakeet went into the vacuum cleaner. So she went into the bag, and there was the parakeet. And like a good lady owner, she took the parakeet, because it was dirty from all of that, and took it to the bathroom and put it under the sink and washed it off. And, of course, it was cold and chilly, and she thought, well, I want to do something else now and try to warm the parakeet up. So she took her hair dryer and put it on the parakeet. Now, I don't know if this is a true story or not, but at any rate, I think it fixes the point for us to think about it. But that all took place there, and so the newspaper person who had covered this story had been in touch with her and found out about it, wanted to know how the parakeet was doing, as she asked her later, and she said this, "Well, Chippy doesn't sing much anymore. He just sits and stares." And, you know, that's sort of like a lot of Christians today. We feel like we've been vacuumed and washed and we've been blown with a hairdryer. Everything's messed up. Our culture's getting away from God. And maybe we just decide we're just going to sit and not say much anymore. But God doesn't want us to do that. Now, how do we move past our discouragement in our individual lives? What are we facing in that of our culture? How do we do it? Well, one thing we can do is we can follow somebody like Gideon and see how they did it. A lot of times, I'm afraid that we choose to wallow in discouragement rather than do what we should do. We throw up our hands and we don't know what to do. We don't want to do much of anything. We feel like we're defeated. And so we have to get past that. Many people choose to wallow in discouragement rather than accept God's help and to do what God wants us to do and move forward no matter what's going on. So we need to do that. And we learn some lessons from people like Gideon. He lived during this period that was bad, just like our period. It was bad. They had the prophets of Baal. They had Ashtaroth. They would They would take some tree and make it in the symbol of Ashtaroth and the groves and all of that. And they would worship Baal. And so all of these were bad things in the period of the judges for those 330-something years. And then Israel became in bad shape. Now look in Judges 6, and let's look at verse 6, and we'll see where they were at this time. Verse 6, Judges 6, 6, and Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. They were their enemies. They had enemies all around them, but the Midianites were some of the worst and most powerful. And the children of Israel, what did they do? They cried unto the Lord. Their enemy was far superior to them militarily, numerically, so on and so forth. And so they had come to this place, and they cried unto the Lord. By the way, this was a result of disobedience. Look at verse 10. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites. They were in connection with the Midianites, in whose land ye dwell. And notice the problem. But ye have not obeyed my voice. Anytime we don't obey God, we're going to get in trouble. You just mark it down. There are consequences to disobedience. Big, middle, in the middle of the road, or small, when we have disobedience in our life, we're going to face the consequences. It's just part of it. And so this is what was happening to them. I think in our country today, we've lost our moral compass, to put it mildly. We've lost that. A few years back in the state of Louisiana, they were sued by the ACLU. And so the reason they sued was because in their public schools they were teaching abstinence. And that's a good thing, isn't it, to teach abstinence and to wait until you're married for the pleasures of marriage. And so they call this forcing religion upon the people. And so they filed a suit concerning that. Now, one year there was 200,000 people in prison. We're talking about the relationship of these two things. And there was that many in prison. One year later, there were 1.5 million people in prison. One year later, and that would be about the size of Houston, Texas, maybe not quite as large now. That group wouldn't be, but Houston's a little larger. But that was the report of what happened. And so as Christians, how do we move from that kind of culture and many other things that we could talk about today? How do we move from that discouragement to fulfilling our God-given purpose, our purposes in this life? How do we move from being discouraged and depressed and despondent at what's going on? Well, we can learn again from Gideon. And God wanted to lead them from defeat all the way to victory. What was the key? Following God, doing what God said to do. So Roman numeral 1 in your outline, we have the paralysis of fear. The paralysis of fear. Now look in your Bible at chapter 6 and verses 22 and 23. Verses 22 and 23. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, "Alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face." And the Lord said unto him, "Peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die." Now what was he doing? He was hiding behind an area where they would mash grapes, and he was threshing some grain and that type of thing, but he was hiding. He wasn't out front. He was scared of the Midianites. And so he was at that time sort of paralyzed in fear. There are dozens of times in the Bible where God says what? Fear not. Over and over he tells us as his children, fear not, fear not, fear not. And yet he was suffering from the paralysis fear, and that gets a lot of Christians. Gideon was there hiding in that area. Researchers doing some research at Johns Hopkins University reported that 30 years ago, the greatest fear of grade school children were these. Number one, they feared animals. Two, being in a dark room. Three, they feared high places. Four, they feared strangers. And five, loud noises. Those were their greatest fears. Today, kids are afraid of these things. One, the number one thing they found out was divorce. Two, nuclear war. Three, cancer. Four, pollution. And five, being mugged. So there's the difference in that many years between those two things. And that's not a good thing. So the opposite of fear is what? Faith. We have to have faith. And so notice the contrast. Let me give you a contrast between fear and faith. Fear weakens. Fear imprisons. Fear paralyzes us. Fear disheartens us, makes us depressed, and fear sickens us. And then on the other side of that, faith does what? Faith strengthens us. Faith liberates us. Boy, does it. And faith empowers us. And faith encourages us. And faith heals us. We have faith. There's a difference in fear and faith. So you don't need to be hiding in the back of the great vat. We need to be out front doing what God's called us to do. And so what does fear do? It leads to isolation. It leads to isolation. Judges 6 and verse 11. The Bible says, "And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites." That's where he was. Fear in hiding. And so the Bible records that. Gideon, in many ways, we would have done the very same thing. But he's threshing wheat. He's hiding. The Midianites, just to give you a little touch of the background, were nomads. And they were very mean nomads. They lived in the southeast and southeast region of what we would know as the Dead Sea. And their genealogy goes back to Abraham's concubine, Keturah. That's where they came from, and they were enemies there of the Jews. The story is told of a man who was on vacation, and he returned to his cabin, and he was all scratched up and bruised up. And his wife said, "What happened?" And he said, "I met a snake on the trail." "Well," she said, "don't you remember? Didn't you remember that yesterday the ranger told us that none of the snakes up there are poisonous? Didn't you remember that?" And he said, "They don't have to be poisonous if they can make you jump off a 20-foot cliff. You still wind up with some of the problems and damage." But sometimes I'm afraid that's what we do. We know that God has told us the way to have the victory over it, but we determine to jump off that cliff. Here's what we need to do today in our dark culture, and that is we need to punch holes in the darkness. We need to be active. We need to be spreading God's love. We need to let people know that Christ died for them. We need to be witnessing. We need to do everything we can to serve the Lord. We don't need to be cowards and get in the corner and say, "Well, nobody loves Christians anymore." They're predicting in just a few years, Christianity will be a minority religion in America. It'll be a minority religion, if you can imagine that. And so that's hard to believe in once a great Christian nation. So, and then B, fear leads to discouragement. Judges 6:13. Chapter 6 and verse 13. "And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us," and notice he's discouraged, he's down. "If the Lord be with us," he said, "why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. He's saying, Lord, if you're with us, why is all this happening to us? Why are we going through this? You're not doing this. Do you ever feel that way? Sometimes you have problems and difficulties and things, and you say, Lord, what's going on here? If you're for me and you're with me, why am I going through all of these problems? Well, God always allows certain things, and he has a reason for those things, but just know that you're in the same camp with Gideon. He got discouraged, but God had to deal with that. And so he's talking about why God wasn't doing more. So he was discouraged. He was afraid of the Midianites, afraid of what was going to happen. And if we allow fear to reign in our minds and in our hearts, you know what's going to follow? Discouragement. Depression and discouragement. If we allow those things to reign in our hearts. And so David was like that on one occasion, we know, where he experienced discouragement. Psalm 89:49. Lord, where are thy former loving kindnesses which thou swearest unto David in thy truth? Now, he was discouraged, and he cried out to the Lord. But God has told us that he has not given us the spirit of fear. We should not have a spirit of fear. And he tells us that in 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and to some a sound mind. No, and a sound mind. He says all of that. Decide what we need to do today. If we got fears, any kind of fears, turn them over to the Lord. Give them to him. Don't linger in isolation. Don't quit because of discouragement. And don't do that. Claim his promises, and by faith, just like Gideon, move forward. It takes faith to move forward, and that's what he did. Don't be afraid of the task God has given you and us. Now, there's some special tasks he's given you. You know what God wants you to do, but there's that general, that generic task that all of us have, and that is to try to bring people to Christ. No matter what else, we need to try to bring people to Christ. Roman numeral 2, the proving of faith. The proving of faith. Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And so we have to listen to what God says in his word. All those fear nots and the other things that are implied where faith was involved. True faith, if we have true faith, when we're serving God, it must be translated into action. Faith requires action in our lives. And so we find Gideon, first of all, doubting. Look at verses 14 and 15 again, chapter 6, verse 14 and 15. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? We've got to keep in mind God has a purpose for us. And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. Gideon said, We're poor folks. And not only that, I'm the least qualified and the least blessed with the natural things of all of my family. How am I going to do this? And yet that's what God called him to do. And he was questioning whether God had the right person. And a lot of us felt that way when God called us to pastor or to preach, to be a preacher. But in this case, his faith was weak. God promised he was going to help him. God promised he was going to be with him. In verse 16, the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. He said, I've called you, and you got to have faith, and you're going to be the one that leads, and you're going to whip the Midianites. You're going to do it. And so that's part of the plan. Verse 16, the Lord said, surely I'll be with thee. And then A under that, faith is not self-confidence. Faith is not self-confident or self-confidence. Judges 7, verses 2 through 4, if you'll look there in the scripture, Judges 7, verses 2 through 4. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands. That seems so strange. Lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand has saved me. We figure we can do it in our own strength, and we have the power to do all of that. We won't give God the glory. Now, therefore, go to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead, and there return of the people 22,000, and there remain 10,000. So he had 32,000 to begin with. But he's telling him what to do in this situation in the proving of that faith. Faith is not self-confidence. And that's what he's talking about in those verses. So 32,000, that was only, to begin with, was only one-sixth of the number that the Gideonites had. Just one-sixth. They were low to begin with. The Midianites that they had. In chapter 7, he talks about in verse 3, the fearful were released from their duty, and 22,000 of them went home. That left 10,000. And he said, well, that's still not enough. And we're gonna bring that down. And so in verse 6, the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped will I save you. There was, he narrowed it down to 300 people, 300 men. So he had the 32,000, then 22,000 went home, and then he put them through a test, and then 9,700 of them went away, and it left 300. But by faith. Now you're figuring they're way more than us. We have 32,000, and some of them God said send home. Now 9,700 are sent away, and I only have 300 left to fight the Midianites. Now, how in the world am I going to do that? But Gideon did it. And that's why he's mentioned in Hebrews 11, 32, 34, in verse 32. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah and David also and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith did all these other things. They did it. How? Through faith. Through faith. And he's mentioned in that honor roll of those who were people of faith. There were 52 signers of the 55 signers of the Declaration of Independence that were proclaimed believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, that said they were Christians. And they declared independence from England. They were declaring another thing, their dependence on God. Independence from England, dependence on God. When we declare independence from human help or earthly things, earthly efforts, then we better depend on God. Our dependence cannot be in ourselves, must be on God. And so whatever the task God is asking you to do, depend on him and you'll get it done, just like Gideon did. And then B, faith is God confident, not self-confident, not what you can do, but God confident. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You've got to have faith. We can't please him without faith. What are you doing in your life right now that requires faith? Whatever it is, God is pleased with that. And so God saw in Gideon a man that he could use. He called him a man of valor. That's a compliment from God. And he was saying, I know you have potential, and you're a willing vessel, and you're going to serve me and accomplish this. And God sees the same potential in us. If we yield to him and get busy and serve him and do what we can, God sees that potential in us. Look at Judges 7, 8, and 9 very quickly. Judges 7, chapter 7, verses 8 and 9. So the people took victuals in their hand and their trumpets, and he sent all the rest of Israel, every man unto his tent, and retained those 300 men, and the host of Midian was beneath him in the valley. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, Arise, get thee down unto the host, for I have delivered it into thine hand. But if thou fear to go down, go thou with Purah, thy servant, down to the host. He said, go down and check it out. But he's saying, go conquer. And it has to be done by faith. And so we have to go and see what God can do. There's so many things that I never would have even attempted or tried if it hadn't have been for my confidence and faith in God. And we always feel that way. I think about every preacher feels a little bit of that before he gets up and preaches. We've got to depend on God. It's God that does it. It's God that makes it powerful. It's God that gives the results for those things. So Gideon's confidence never wavered after that. God was dealing with him. And can you imagine? This seemed so irrational. Cut down all those people and be down to 300 and all of that and take the challenge. But Gideon trusted God by faith. And God blessed and honored his faith tremendously. Gideon and the army were delivered from the Midianites. Romans 8:31 says, What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us. If God be for us, who can be against us? And he's simply saying God's going to see us through. God's going to be with us. And we all have a different journey. We all have different tasks. We all have things that God wants us to do. And he has one for you. But whatever it is, it requires confidence, not in yourself, but in God. Now, what was the result of that? Blessings. Many blessings and victory. And then thirdly, very quickly, the provision for the faithful. The provision for the faithful. Judges 17:19. If you'll look there, Judges 7, rather, and verses 19 through 21. Judges 7. So Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came unto the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch, and they had but newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and brake the pictures that were in their hands. He had three companies of 100 each surrounding the people. And the three companies blew the trumpets, brake the pictures, held the lamps in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands, and to blow withal. And they cried, The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And they stood every man in his place around about the camp, and all the host ran and cried and fled. You say, 300 guys surrounded all of these people in their camp at midnight, right after midnight, and they broke the pictures, and there was the light, the torch, and then they blew the trumpets. They had left trumpets, gathered them up, and they blew those trumpets, and God used that to scare the Midianites and to make them run because of what took place. And they shouted, The sword of the Lord and Gideon. All of that took place. And, of course, there was fruitfulness and God bless. Now, a lot of times we're prone to wonder and doubt God, but we can't do it. I can't imagine Gideon being in that predicament and being told to do that, and yet he just did it because God said, do it. And it may have looked strange, but we've got to do it. Justice Antonin Scalia said, Christians who actually live according to the Bible in the USA can expect to be viewed as fools. And I don't think he's been wrong on that. We're despised. We're a minority religion is coming. As I said, George Washington said it this way, it is impossible to righteously govern the world without God in the Bible. There's no way you can do it without God in the Bible. We need wisdom. We need it for our daily steps. We need it for our daily challenges. Gideon's method seemed unwise. All of the weapons and all of the weapons of war, the things that he told him to use. But God's wisdom is always greater than our wisdom. And we have to trust him. Isaiah 55:8-9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. We just have to believe God. What he says is true, and trust God and do it. And God will provide the wisdom. James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Very quickly, B, God provides tenacity. Verses 1-4, you can read it later in Judges 8. God gave him the strength and the tenacity, the stubbornness, and the willing heart to do it. And he had, no matter what they said to him, they were mad. There was one group mad at him because he hadn't included them in the attack, and they were pouting over it. And so he said, look, you conquered these two men, Oreb and Zeb, and what are you talking about? You did more than we did. And so they got through that, but always it seemed like somebody's going to criticize you. You go ahead and do what God wants you to do, and you can expect that. 2 Timothy 3:12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And so they were faint at that point. Chapter 8, verse 4 said they were faint. They were weak, but they kept pursuing. And they asked some other people to help them, the people in Succoth, and they wouldn't help. And they asked someone else to help, and they wouldn't help. D.L. Moody said this. A man came to Moody, and he criticized him for the method he was using in winning souls. Moody listened very politely, and then he said, well, how would you do it? The man was taken back by the question and quietly mumbled this. He said, I don't do it. Moody said, well, I like my way better than your way. And I'm out of time, but I'd show another illustration, a personal one, but we don't have the time for it. But they were persistent in what they did. And 2 Corinthians 4 says, verse 16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far better, more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We have to trust God and do what God says to do. And when we do that, God will bless. Like Gideon and his men, we've got to stand in our place. We can't get down. We can't get depressed. We can't see it as an impossibility. I still believe God could give a revival. That's up to God. If we meet the conditions, he'll do it. He did it for Nineveh. But we have to pray. We have to believe. We can't kowtow and run and not open our mouths and not witness and feel like we are totally defeated people. We are God's people with a task, and we have to have faith and do that thing that God has called us to do, those things that God has called us to do. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for Gideon. Thank you that he had faith, and you honored that faith, and they had total and complete victory against the enemy, the Midianites. Help us to be faithful and have faith concerning what you want us to do in this age, no matter what we're facing. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.